Anyway, we're just having some talk about Vishwas. It's really loud. Haribo? Yeah, so Vishwas, what's the difference between Vishwas and Shraddha? Sometimes the distinction is made that Shraddha is in the beginning and goes to Vishwas. The basic thing is Vishwas and Shraddha mean faith. And faith is the most important element to even begin bhakti or sustain bhakti or to reach fulfillment and perfection in bhakti. So bhakti or devotion itself, it moves on three wheels, like a three-wheeler. Like these auto scooters, they have one wheel in the front and two in the back. So the three-wheel scooter is one. The front wheel is bhakti, that's leading the way. Then the two back supporting wheels are faith and surrender. Faith and surrender, they give the support to bhakti. They give the fuel to bhakti. More faith, more surrender, the quicker the scooter goes. The quicker we go. So the more faith we have, and the more we surrender to Guru and God and Shastra, Hari Guru, Vaishnavas, the more we surrender, Sharanagati, the more we have faith, the more we can surrender. Our faith is little, our surrender is little. Our faith is more, our surrender is more. So when we have lots of faith and lots of surrender, Sharanagati, some people say that's Vishwas, Sudrida Vishwas. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says Sudrida Vishwas. That the devotee at the platform of Nishtita Bhakti, he's crossed many the great and most pernicious anarthas of anartha nivritti. He has somehow by Guru's grace and the influence of Nam, Sri Nam Prabhu, that sadhaka has crossed over and conquered over and purified his heart and conquered over most all the obstacles and impediments. Although, there, of course, there's subtle contamination still lingering in the mind and heart. But he's able to control his senses and be steady and not have ups and downs, and steadily be on the path of bhakti. So that's called nishta. Then later on, of course, there's taste and ruchi, and attachment and bhav and prema. So nishta means sudrida vishwas. When we're at the level of nishta, then our vishwas is sudridha. Dridha means very firm, very strong, very unshakable. We can't get changed. Our faith in Krishna won't diminish. Some deprogrammers may come, or some demons, or some mayavadis, or vipassana yoga. We meet some vipassana yoga people, some Buddhists, and they say, oh, bhakti is sentimental, you know, this is for fools, you know, this is not the way. If you want to find the real way, you have to go the way of Zen. The way of Zen, the way of Buddha. And then give up this bhakti. And so you say, oh yeah, you're right, I think sounds like a good idea. So that means there's no vishwas bodhkame. Your faith is not sudrida vishwas, which is described. Sudrida means great determination. Very determined faith. Very determined bhakti. Your faith is so strong. Krishna does exist. And I am his eternal servant. And there is a spiritual world. And I'm going there. I definitely want to go there. And I definitely believe it. I'll do everything I can with all my energy and all my thoughts and feelings and as best as I can, no matter how many times I trip on the way, or how many times I may fall down on the way, I keep picking myself up, and I keep trying. Try again. So when he keeps trying, eventually he starts flying. Try again, and when he keeps trying, soon he starts flying. So trying is anartha nivritti. And then when you begin to fly, it's nishta. When you're really flying, then it's ruchi. When you become supersonic, when you're supersonic and you can't be seen anymore, then it's bhava. So try until you fly. So this is vishwas. Bhakti and Shraddha vishwas, bhakti and sharanagati. These are three sisters. Bhakti is feminine. Bhakti, the word is feminine. She's the goddess of devotion. Bhakti Devi, we say Devi, we don't say Bhakti Das. Of course, there's devotee's name, Bhakti Das. Bhakti Devi, she's a goddess. And she's not Tulsi. Tulsi is Tulsi. Tulsi is a pear form. It's a tree form of Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi has a tree form. And some Sakis have a form of a flute. That's why Krishna has one Saki named Vamshi, another Saki named Murali. So Vamshi becomes a Vamshi sometimes, and Murali becomes a Murali. And when Krishna was coming as Gauranga for this Gaur Leela, then Vamshi said, "What about me? All Rupa Goswami's going, Rupa Mandri's going, Radharani's going, Gadadhar Pandit, all the Sapsakis are going, and everyone's going, but what about you? You're going there and you're just going to raise your Ajano Lambita Gaur. You're just going to raise your two arms in the sky and you're going to dance, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari, 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 Krishna, 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 Krishna. You're just going to dance and you're not going to, and maybe sometimes you'll do some mala, or you'll, not even mala, you'll chant on your fingers and keep track with a sutra kati, some knotted string around your waist, and you'll move your fingers. And you won't play any instruments. We don't see Lord Chaitanya playing mridanga. We don't see him playing a Zimbabwe or whatever that African thing is. What do you call it? Jimboy or something.
Jumba.
Playing a jumba. Booba, boomba, boomba. Sounds like some African tribal dance, you know, a bunch of Adivasis or something. It's so tamagun. It's not from the spiritual world. Mridanga is from the spiritual world. Gaur Leela is spiritual world. This is all. Anyway. This is not good. So Krishna's flute, you know, he said, "What about me? You're leaving me here, or you're not taking Govardhan, or you know, your Govardhan's staying here. You're going to Navadvip, manifest your Gauranga form there." So then Krishna says, "All right, you can come. You can also come into my Leela. Your name will be Vamshivarana Thakur." So there's one great devotee. I'm not sure if he's a Brahmin or what his caste is, but he's in Gaur Leela. He's a Nitya Parishad Gauranga. Vamshivarana Thakur. His biography is there in Gaudiya Vaishnava Jivani. Gaudiya Vaishnava Jivani and other books about the biographies of Lord Chaitanya's associates. So the Vamshi came down into the Leela. So Vrindadevi, she has this form of a tree, and some devotees have the form of a Brahman or a flute. A Bhakti Devi is Radharani. Bhakti Devi is expansion of Radharani. Because Bhakti Devi, what is Bhakti Devi? Bhakti Devi is Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti and some Vit Shakti, so knowledge, Vidya, Vidya Paravidya. Vidya is a potency, Shakti, knowledge, Paravidya, transcendental knowledge. Samvidya, Samvit, Samveda, Samveda, Samvit. So Samvit Shakti, Shakti means female, Samvit Shakti, Ladini Shakti. So that potency of knowing, like Saraswati, Saraswati is the personification of wisdom. There's the Lokik Saraswati, Lokik, material Saraswati, who teaches you material dance and material music, and material wisdom and knowledge. Then there's the Dibya Saraswati, the original Saraswati in Vaikuntha. She is the wife of Narayan, Dibya Saraswati. And she gave the Gopal mantra to Brahma and Brahma Samhita. That's explained. And Divya Saraswati, she's an expansion of Radharani. All the queens of Vaikuntha, all the Lakshmis and Saraswatis, etc. in Vaikuntha, and all the Mahishis and Dwarka, they're all expansions of Radharani. So Bhakti Devi is like that, like Saraswati. There's the goddess of knowledge. There's the goddess of wealth, Lakshmi Devi. There's the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And then there's the goddess of devotion, Bhakti Devi. She's expansion of Radharani. So Bhakti Devi's sister is Shraddha. Shraddha is also feminine. And Sharanagati is also feminine. So these three sisters, Sharanagati, surrender, and Shraddha, faith or vishwas and bhakti. They go together. The queen is bhakti. Bhakti Devi is the queen. And her maidservants are faith, and surrender. So the more we have faith, the more we surrender, the more our bhakti will be strong and grow very nicely. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. That's how Prabhupada would end his lectures. I sat there many times. I sat in maybe 20, 30 lectures of Prabhupada. Right there. Thank you very much. Jai Prabhupada. Question? I never saw. You saw?
No.
I never saw. I'd wait to show you.
Because sometimes
they're enjoying. What are they on? Why are they working?
Some yogis sometimes in the temples they put mridangas deities, during the deities, mridangas karatavas to their hands.
Excuse me? That's just the Bhavichar. They're the inaugurators of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Karatal means this, is karatal. Karatal means hand. Karatal. Karatal is a Sanskrit name for hand. Karatal. So when you keep. This is the original karatal, hands. And tal means karatal and karatal. The beat. I never read anywhere Lord Chaitanya playing mridanga or playing flute. Maybe sometimes he shows himself. He gives darshan to different devotees as Krishna. Maybe he's playing bamshi at that time. Some rare sakshat darshan for some great devotee like Ramananda Roy or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But Lord Chaitanya, we always hear is dancing. Ajano Lambita. Gauranga Nachare, Gauranga Nachare. That was it. Singing here in the Radhakund Rath Yatra. Gauranga Nachare, Gauranga Nachare. Baranvale Ajano Lambita. He said, he's dancing down the road and his long arms are raised above his head. Gauranga Nachare, Gauranga Nachare. That's what they were singing. Gauranga Nachare means he's dancing. Notch.
I've heard from Adipurusha Prabhu. You know him?
He's gone.
No, Adipurusha Prabhu from Vrindavan, Vechi.
Oh, I don't know him. There was one, Adipurusha was with Indra for a long time. Kirtan party, Russian guy. He died years ago. His name is Adipurush.
So Adipurush Prabhu, his teaching from.
I don't know him.
Once he told that whenever God is coming to material world, different avatars, so he is coming with his Shakti. And
what else is
there? Even if Shakti Vesha avatar coming to material world, like. Narada, he's coming with Shakti.
No, Shakti Vesh, I don't believe Shakti Vesh means descending from the spiritual world. Shakti Vesh, as far as I know it, Avesh means in something is instilled. Avesh, like we say, Griha Pravesh. Griha means house. Pravesh means to enter inside the house. You get a new house, they do a puja and yajna, it's called Griha Pravesh. Mandir Pravesh. Pravesh means to enter into. When Shakti enters into someone, Narada Muni was a deva. His story is in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto. He was a deva. And then he got the blessings of the Lord, and then he got Shakti was put inside of him. He's a jiva. Vyasadeva is a jiva, and he was Shakti Vesh avatar. But he's not coming. Vyasadeva, I never read that Shakti Vesh avatars descend from the spiritual world. I haven't read that. They're from this world and then they get blessed by the Lord. Parasaram was a jiva of this world. And he was invested in the power. He's a Brahmin. Parasuram. and Krishna wanted to use this jiva as a purpose to kill all the demons. So he became a powerful kshatriya by the mercy of the Lord in the beginning of Treta Yuga or so, and he killed all the bogus kshatriyas. And then Ram came in Treta Yuga towards the end or whatever. And then he said, oh, he met him and he challenged, hey, you're another bogus kshatriya. And Ram just took all his power. Psh. He said, you're just a jiva. You go to the Himalayas and do tapasya.
I'm not correct in my explanation.
I don't think so.
I want to
what do you want to say? What's your question?
Because when somebody, Shakti Vishavatar, is preaching here, he's also preaching with his potency, like because he's an avatar. Avatar, that's why his potency, Shakti, is with him. And
he's not. This Shakti Vesh is not, doesn't have potency with him. He's given potency.
And he told that like
you don't have any. You're poor. You don't have any money. So I give you 10 lakhs and say now go buy some stocks. So you go to the stock market and buy some stock, or go buy some property. Here's one crore. So he said, okay, I'm buying this property. I have this power to buy property. No, somebody gave me this money to buy property for them. So God will give some power. He gives some power. He gave one power, not that they have all Shaktis with them. They're not Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti is Krishna. Sarva Avatar and Sarva Shakti is Bhagavan. They come from the spiritual world. A Shakti Vesh Avatar is just some jiva that gets a particular power for one particular thing given to him. When that's done, then that power is withdrawn in the case of Parasram, and he wasn't anymore killing kshatriyas, he was just doing meditation. He's a Chiran jiva, he's a jiva. So Narada Muni, he was a conditioned soul, at least it appears that way in the Bhagavatam, first count of Bhagavatam. First he was a demigod in some heavenly planets in seventh count of his previous life. Then he was singing and then he got cursed or something, then he came into this world, he's born as a Shudra's daughter, something like this. And then his mother was a maidservant's son and she was serving some sadhus for Chaturmasya. They gave him a mantra and they blessed him. And then he started doing bhajan. This is in Canto 1, Chapter 6. And then he went through Nishta, and he came to Bhava, and he came to Prema, and he had darshan of Vishnu one time, and lost that vision, Paramatma, he saw. And he said, you won't see me again. And then when he left his body, then Vishnu came from the spiritual world, bringing a Siddhadeya, and gave it to him. And now he got a Siddhadeya. His history is there. He was given power by the Lord Bhakti Shakti to spread Bhakti. It's not that he has all Shaktis with him, Narada Muni, that he can create a universe or destroy a universe or give you all kinds of money. He has Bhakti, so he gives Bhakti. That's what I understand.
He told that Vina, which he brings with himself all time, it's Vina.
That's donated to him.
Yes, but he told that like Shrimati Radharani always present with Krishna, that means that this Vina always present with Narada Muni, because he is like avatar and Vina means...
I don't know. This is all concoction. I don't see this in Shastra. I have to show this in Shastra. There's some history about the Vina was given to him by Lakshmi Devi or something. What's the question? You have a question about Bhakti Bhajan. These are just insignificant things. I don't know why you've come up with these things. What do these have to do with increasing your faith or increasing your... These type of statements, someone makes something like that, first thing you say is, where is that in Shastra? This thing you said is not in Shastra. What thing?
What thing?
You're saying about Vina, this, that, Narada Muni, Shakti Vesh.
I don't know.
I know. So you better quote the Shastras, and I don't know what you're talking about. Ask questions. Prabhupada said we should ask questions based on our position, and our realization. You read the Bhagavad Gita, oh, I don't understand this particular verse, or I'm practicing bhakti or chanting. Our questions should be based on that. Just like when you go to school, if you're studying, you pay it to go to university, you pay money. And you're studying, say, chemistry. So when you go there, you ask the teacher questions about chemistry because you want to learn the subject. You're reading this textbook and studying the science of chemistry, so you want to learn about chemistry. You don't say, excuse me, no, I have a question about making chapatis. And so what is it? It doesn't make any sense. You can ask anything, but what's the point? You quote Shastra, or you ask questions based on what you've read and what you understand. Not that you hear anybody say anything and you quote that. It's not as eternal paraphernalia. Where was Narada Muni's vina when he was, washing dishes with his mother for 4 months? I didn't see, there was no vina described there. Where is his vina when he was in the heavenly planets? He didn't have any vina there. He was a singer. It's in the seventh canto. No description anywhere of his eternal instrument, the vina. His previous life, he's in heavenly planets. It doesn't say he's playing vina. He was a singer. Then he took another birth in this planet because he got cursed. Then he was just a young boy, a sutra's son. Wouldn't even know how to play vina anyway. He didn't have any vina. And when Vishnu came and brought him a spiritual body, he didn't give him a vina at that time. Didn't bring him a spiritual vina. He gave him a Siddhadeya Vas, Vaikuntha Murti. Very interesting idea. The vina is Krishna's, is Narada's eternal instrument. Now, you have any intelligent questions? First get a guru, then be thinking about loyalty. It's like saying, I'm thinking about loyalty to my husband, but I haven't gotten married yet. I'm thinking about what kind of baby clothes to buy, but I'm not pregnant. I mean, first you get a guru, then you figure out how to be loyal. I mean, what's the question you're thinking about? What does it mean, the principle of being loyal to the guru?
And after, if he will trying to find some faults in the guru, that means that he is
aparadhi,
and
not much luck. Bad luck.
Bad luck.
So, what's the question? First, you have to study Guru Tattva. What is the identity of Guru? He's Sakshat Hari, should always be seen as a representative of God, and always be seen as Krishna. Krishna be sitting before me, Krishna standing before me. Whatever he says is good, whatever he does is good. If we have judgment and measurement of Guru, then we have no Guru. So before we choose a Guru, we have to know what are the qualities of Guru. What are the qualities of Guru? And how, what is the identity, what is the equality of Guru, what is the identity of Guru, what are his qualities, what is his identity, what is the relationship between Guru and Krishna, how should disciples see Guru, what are the qualities of Guru, what is faith in Guru, all these things we study, then we try to find a guru that we can have faith in. We try to find a guru that we can accept that he is God, he's Sakshat Hari. He's two tattvas. He's Bhagavat Tattva and he's Guru Tattva. He's Bhagavat coming before us as Kripa Shakti Murti, but then he's also Guru. He's also of this world. We see that he's in this world, he's like me, but he's Bhagavan. I may not understand what he's doing, or may not understand what he's saying, but I should not pass judgment. I've accepted him as my guru, as my teacher, and so I don't want to find any fault. Guru is faultless, and the fault is with me, not with guru. So before we submit to some person, the person should be liberated. He should be, from all practical, should be faultless in the sense of he's Brahmanishtam, he's fixed in Brahman, he's controlled his senses, he's not influenced by material attraction, he's not greedy, he's a liberated soul. Although he's sitting in front of me, or he's moving in front of me, we may not understand what he does, but we should never judge or find fault with what he does. Sometimes you see the Grihastha Guru, like the Goswamis, Kas Goswamis, whatever. Yeah, of course, Grihastha Guru means he's married and he has his wife and children. But he may be very friendly with his disciples. He may be very intimate and loving with his disciples. So you may see a Kas Goswami or some Grihastha Guru. Sometimes he embraces one of his lady disciples, or he... whatever. And you might think, oh, what is this? What kind of guru is this? Seems like he's attracted to ladies, even though he's Grihastha and he's married. Why is he doing that? He's not guru. So then we make offense. We don't know his bhav, we don't know his viewpoint, or how he's seeing everything. So we shouldn't measure. Or guru told me not to drink coffee and tea, and I see my guru drinking coffee or tea. What to do? Of course, usually we don't see these discrepancies in guru. Guru, you know, walks his talk. Whatever he says, he also does. That's called acharya, that he teaches by example. But sometimes his example is different than his precept, because he's telling us one thing. Just like the doctor, when you go to the doctor, he tells you to take a medicine and a particular diet. But you say, wait a minute, I see, doctor, you're not taking this medicine. And you told me to only eat, I can't eat any fried foods, I can't eat any pakoras or anything fried. But I see you're eating pakoras and fried food. But the doctor is not sick. So then you find, oh, you're a bogus doctor, you should also eat steamed vegetables. You told me to eat steamed vegetables. He told me to take this medicine three times, bitter medicine three times a day. You should also take. Unless you're taking, you can't tell me to take. So even a doctor, a mundane doctor, we don't expect him to follow the same things. Of course, in spiritual teachings, we're trained that the guru is called acharya. So most, as I said, most cases they behave perfectly and they speak and act perfectly. Sanatana Goswami was glorifying Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said one verse there, he said, some devotees, they act very nicely. They're very well behaved, very good conduct, very pure behavior, very strict in all the vidhis, fine points of Shastra and cleanliness and behavior. Very, very, very clean and very strict, good devotees. But they don't preach. They don't do pravachan or try to help others. They're busy with their own lives, their own very clean and God-centered, regulated lives of service and devotion, and their personal bhajan and meditation and puja, whatnot, maintaining their families, whatever. They're very good devotees, but they don't preach. And other devotees, they're engaged in preaching and pravachan, and they're always preaching and helping others and engaging in Harinam, Kirtan, and encouraging others to take up bhakti and guiding them. But their behavior is not very good. Sometimes they're smoking, or they're leading Kirtan. After Kirtan, they smoke, or some funny thing I see in their behavior. They're not very strict about their eating. Sometimes they don't always eat prasad. I see them eating outside sometimes, some aloo tikki or some ice cream or snack or something here and there in a marketplace. You see them sitting in the market drinking a Pepsi or something. You know, so it's not... So some people, they preach very well, but they don't behave very nicely. But then Sanatan said, so these different kinds of devotees are there. And Sanatan glorified Haridas. He says, Haridas Thakur, but you are the best. You are the best of devotees. You are the most exemplary. You are the Acharya. You are the Namacharya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Because you do both things correctly. You're preaching, you're doing pravachan. You're giving nam prachar, nam tattva prachar, nam tattva prachar, nam mahima prachar. You're preaching about the truth of the holy name and the glories of the holy name. And you're preaching very nice, harikata, wherever and whenever you can. And just see the power of your preaching. And by your preaching, by your prabhava, by your influence, one great famous prostitute came. Actually, Mayadevi herself even came. Mayadevi herself came to break your sannyas vow. And one famous Bengali prostitute came. Hira Lakshmi, or whatever her name was. And she came, but you converted her. You, by your prabhava, by your preaching, you converted her, and she became a Param Vaishnavi. She shaved her head and absorbed herself in chanting 3 lakhs a day and worshipping Tulsi. So you preach very nicely. And of course, you also act very nicely. Very strict. You're very extremely strict about your behavior and perfect and pure in your conduct. So you are the best of devotees. And you not only preach wonderfully, perfectly and expertly, but you also behave very exemplary and properly. So that's the best type of devotee. So we can find a guru like that. That's the true acharya, that his behavior is pure and faultless and immaculate. And his preaching is totally siddhantic. There's two things to be careful of when we hear Harigata or when we speak Harigata. This is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we should not, the topics that we hear or the topics that we speak, the Krishna Gata, it should not, these are two faults that may appear there. One is, Rasabhas or Siddhanta Virud. Rasabhas or Siddhanta Virud. Something is said which is against Shastra. Siddhanta, the truth, Siddhanta, the truth of perfection. The Shastra Praman, the Nidhi Nisheda, the Shastra Praman, the truth and conclusion of the Shastras. It's called Siddhanta Virud and Rasabhas means there's a wrong mixture, incorrect mixture of rasas. Madhurya ras with Sakhi ras, or Madhurya ras with Dasi ras, some kind of Madhurya ras and Vatsali ras, a wrong presentation of the rasas, a mixture of the rasa tattvas. So these are two things that are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Gaudiya Pracharaks, they have to be careful that their writings or their speaking is free from these two faults of Shastra Siddhanta Virud or Rasabhas. Virud means against the Shastra. They're saying something that's wrong. So therefore, if one is, the guru is not only faultless and pure in behavior, achar, but is prachar and achar. Prachar is preaching. His preaching should be free from these two faults. No Siddhanta Virud and no Rasabhas. Such a person is the, and if he's born in a good family, a Brahmin family, or a Vedic Varna, proper Vedic Varna, Ashram, proper Vedic Varna, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, This is according to Hari Bhakti Vilas. These are the highest quality, Vishesh Gun Guru Lakshana, to be born in this Varna system of Chaturvarnya Mayashrisvam, Guna Karma Vivagashya. This is God-given system. Krishna's given the system. It's told in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's telling Arjuna, I gave the four Varnas. I gave the four castes. I gave the four ashrams. Varna means caste. The caste system. The British came to India to throw away the caste system, demolish the caste system, the inequality, the racism, the bigotry, the injustices of the caste system. But they can't abolish the caste system because it's got created by God. Caste means varnas. There are shudras everywhere. There's laborers, there's shudras. Everywhere there are merchants or farmers, vaishyas. Everywhere there are military people and politicians, kshatriyas. Everywhere there are intelligentsia, intelligent people, inventors, scientists, professors, teachers, brahmins, priests. They're the brahmins. Everywhere, in every country, there are four varnas. Before the British came to India and after the British came to India and in the future. Because Krishna created. So the guru should be from one of the four varnas. It means created by God. So this is in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sometimes in some exceptional cases, for some emergency situations, in exceptional times and places, and exceptional circumstances called Kalandeshan Patra. Kalandeshan Patra, Krishna may make some adjustment or some arrangement where even Western people become gurus. We see right now in the contemporary history, so many people from Europe and Russia and America are all gurus in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and initiating people. But this is not actually mentioned or described in Hari Bhakti Vilas. The lowest level of guru there, it says Shudra can be guru. He's born in the caste of a Shudra within the Varnashram system, which means as an Indian. So someone born Mlecha Yavana, Nastik, Bashandi, Antyaja, or Western or outside of India, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, he's not really qualified to be guru. So then if he is a guru, that means that's some exceptional case, exception to the Shastra, which is somehow arranged by the predecessor Acharyas and Krishna for particular purposes, to propagate Krishna consciousness on a worldwide scale or to maintain a particular mission, integrity and progress. But the Shastras are like this. So guru should be meet the qualifications. So in studying these things, then we can think, then when we choose a guru, then once we've chosen a guru, and we surrender to guru, and we're serving guru, then we find faults. That's called guru avagya. It's an offense to the holy name, and it's Vaishnava aparad, and it's nama aparad, and it's guru aparad. Very serious. So we should think 100 times before we choose a guru, or be chosen by a guru. Hari Bhakti Vilas says that if a guru chooses someone for initiation, he should examine that person for 3 years. 3 years at the, I think it's 3 to 5 years. 3 years if the person's a, 5 years if the person's a Shudra, and 4 years if he's a Vaishya, and 3 years if he's a Kshatriya, and 1 year if he's a Brahmin. There's some time period. The lower the caste of the, lower the caste and position and birth of the disciple, the longer you should keep an eye on him to see if he's going to cut the, be able to go the distance and prove himself to be a qualified recipient of initiation. That's another point of Shastra. Said even the one thing is a qualification of guru, he should be within the varnas. It said even a disciple, someone who's going to receive Pancharatrika Diksha or Vedic Diksha, Pancharatrika Diksha, he must be within the four varnas. So according to Shastra, all of us Western people are not qualified to even be initiated. So that's an exception. Where the qualified guru, be he Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or even down to Shudra, if he wants to initiate even lower caste people, that's his kripa or his mercy. He can give them Pancharatrika Diksha. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, he's a qualified guru. Nitya Siddha, many say that he's Nitya Siddha, and we can see some Shastra proof that Nitya Siddhas do come from Vaikuntha. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanat Goswami seems to indicate that oftentimes the Nityasiddhas come to this world regularly to preach to the material world by their own wish or by the will of Vishnu or Krishna. But at any rate, Prabhupada is certainly a Siddha and certainly empowered. We can say Nityasiddha. And he mercifully, an exception to the Shastra, he made an exception and initiated all of his, basically all of his disciples, including me, and gave us some mercy and fortune. That's the blessings of God. That's Bhagyavan Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Ramanda Brahmate, Kon Bhagyavan Jiva. Kon Bhagyavan, which one? Which jiva is going to get that good fortune? So if Prabhupada strictly followed the Shastras would say you can't initiate someone that's not an Indian. You can't initiate someone that's not born a Shudra. They're born outside the Varnashram Dharma. They're considered animals and non-humans, which is basically correct. If you look at our birth habits and our habits we have and our eating habits and our behavior habits, they're pretty animalistic. Eating cow in the womb and having 3 abortions by the time we're 17 doesn't sound too human. Even animals don't do that. It's even less than animals, what to speak of humans. Animals give birth to their dogs. They die naturally. Even dogs don't do abortions. So humans who do abortions are less than dogs. Well, it's a great fortune of mercy that we got initiated. It's Krishna's mercy coming through Guru, the Kripa Shakti Murti. Krishna's Kripa Shakti Murti is Sri Guru. He's the veritable form of Krishna's kindness, grace, mercy, and love. God is love, God is kindness, God is mercy, and certainly Krishna is the most merciful God. Krishna is the most, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the most merciful form of the merciful Krishna. He's Namo Maha Varanyaya. Namo Maha Varanyaya. Namo Maha Varanyaya. Varanaya. Varanaya means merciful, compassionate. Maha. Namo Maha Varanyaya. Krishna Prema. He's so merciful, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Patita Pavanavatar. Patita, 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 ati patita. Avatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he picked out the most fallen of the fallen of the fallen. Like they have this, some places they distribute food and education to poor people, and they have this a motto that says, helping the poorest of the poor. They have some phrase like this, you know, they're giving food, free food to people and free schools and things. They have some phrase, helping the poorest of the poor. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is helping the most fallen of the fallen. Everybody, every human being in Kali Yuga is fallen. All the Indians are fallen. Indian people, although they have caste system, they're born in the 4 Varnas, they have good gotras and good rishis behind their bloodline, some powerful great saintly rishis. Rishis and sages, Bhargava, Rishi, Gotama, Kapila, etc. They're very auspicious and fortunate people. But they're also unfortunate because they're born in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, Kali, it's in the first canto. Kali Yusmin Age Yuga. Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Matyo, Manda Bhagyu Upadrata. Manda Samanda Matyo. That they're Mati, they're very slow. Manda Samanda Mati. Everyone, whether Indian or whatever, they're very slow to take up spiritual life, very slow to have faith in God. And then manda sumanda matyo, manda bhagya upadrata, abhagya. They're very unfortunate in this age, everyone. And upadrata, everyone's always full of anxiety and always disturbed and anxious. Not only Indians, but everyone. So even Indians or Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras, whatever they may be, they're also affected by this heavy Kali Yuga force. So everyone's disturbed, everyone's anxious. So we take up Krishna Bhakti, and everything becomes fortunate. There are six characteristics of bhakti. Shubhadha and kleshagni. Kleshagni, Shubhadha. There are six characteristics of bhakti. They go from shraddha up to nishta. Nishta. We'll experience from the beginning, we begin at ado shraddha tata, from shraddha to sarasanga to bhajana kriya. We get diksha and we start practicing bhakti, then anartha nivritti to nishta. During that, those stages of progress in bhakti, we'll experience these first two characteristics of bhakti. Six characteristics. There's bhakti and bhava. Two characteristics in bhakti, two in bhava, and two in prema. So this first two characteristics of bhakti, that will go all the way to nishta, to ruchi, to asakti. We'll experience more and more as we go on. What are those two characteristics? Shubhadha, that practicing bhakti, being a devotee of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, creates goodness, auspiciousness, positiveness in our lives. It makes our life less anxious, less disturbed. We become more peaceful, more settled, more equal poised, more happy. So this is called Shubhadha, Shubha. Shubhadha, that which gives fortune. Then Klesh Agni. Klesh Agni means to destroys bad things. Destruction of bad things. Lust, anger, greed, envy, fault finding, offenses. All these bad and contaminated qualities of mind and heart, they become destroyed and diminished one by one by one. This is first two characteristics of sadhana bhakti. And bhava bhakti is moksha laguta krit. Moksha laguta krit. When one is in bhakti at the level of bhava, experiencing bhava, intense attraction, attachment, love for Krishna, and if someone offers him liberation or moksha, mukti, he says, I don't care. I don't have any. It's light. It's very light. Lagu. I don't care anything about it. But such a high state of love, such a high state of attachment and absorption in Krishna is very, very rare. Very, very rare after many, many lifetimes of doing bhakti bhajan. So therefore, that characteristic is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha. Durlabha means difficult, rare. Su means very rare, very difficult. So these are the two characteristics of bhakti that manifest at the level of bhav. Moksha lagutakrit and sudurlabha. Then we come to prema bhakti. Very, very, very rare. And that has two characteristics. Chandra ananda visheshatma. The atma. Vishesh, Sandra Ananda, experiences concentrated, a specialized, unique, specialized form of unbelievable, incredible, ecstatic bliss. Chandra means concentrated, compact, thick. Chandra Ananda, Visheshatma. Total bliss from your bones to your tips of your hair. From your bone marrow, inside your bones to your toenails. Feel blissful. Bliss. Transcendental bliss. Om Shanti, Shanti, Om. Chandrananda Visheshatma. And then, what's the other thing? You're so full of love. You're so full of beauty. So full of charm and sweetness and dynamism. You're like a chumbak. Chumbak means magnet. Chumbak also means kiss. Chumbak. So you become a magnet, you know, magnet, like attract iron, loha. That's called magnet. Then you attract Krishna. Sri Krishna Karshani. Karshan means chumbak. Chumbak means magnet, because little piece of loha iron get nearby and get stuck. So when two lovers come together, or husband and wife, and they're their lips get locked, That's called chumba. Chumba. And they kiss, it's called chumba. In Hindi, Sanskrit, chumba. So this is Sri Krishna's Karshani. Karshan means attraction, like chumba. So that love, that bhava, that prema, so that Krishna prema, that Radha Krishna prema, that nirmal vishuddha prema is so attractive, like a powerful magnet, that Krishna comes down to give darshan by spurti, by deep vision, vispurti, deeper vision, or sakshat darshan. Krishna gives you divine eyes, and you can see his beautiful form and smell the beautiful fragrance of his divine body. And you can hear his beautiful, sweet, sublime, charming voice, or feel his beautiful, caressing touch on your body, or even taste his lips. This is described in Madhurya Kadambini, the eighth shower, prema, the experience of the devotee, the experience of the devotee meeting Krishna at the level of prema, Sri Krishna Karshani. So these are the two symptoms of prema bhakti. So this is the beauty of bhakti. It all depends on faith, Sharanagati and Vishwas. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.